With Montana News, I'm Nora Sachs, a Montana businessman whose U.S. Senate campaign is chaired by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke's wife, has outspent and outraised his Republican opponents by pumping $650,000 of his own money into the race. Campaign filings released by the Federal Election Commission showed donors contributed less than 25% of the $860,000 that Troy Downing has raised. He's been spending heavily on advertising and political consultants as he seeks the nomination to challenge Democratic Senator John Tester. Senator Tester is courting the women's vote, saying all issues are women's issues. The Democrat spoke at the launch of the group calling itself Women for Tester Saturday in Bozeman. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka reports.
Tester says history will determine whether the women's march is a moment or a movement. But the farmer from Big Sandy and former president of the Montana State Senate says it sure feels like a movement.
I think the Women for Tester is an organization to try to harness the energy that we see all around the state of Montana, from small towns to large towns, and make sure that we're giving the women of this state an avenue to make sure their voices are heard, because I think it's an important voice to hear.
Tester is not taking for granted women will vote for him as he anticipates another tough campaign in his bid for a third term in a state that's leaning ever more Republican. Five Republicans are vying for the chance to take on Tester on the November general election ballot. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News, Bozeman.
Negotiations between the state and companies that help people with developmental disabilities seem to be at a dead end. Corin Cates-Carney reports.
In December, the four nonprofit companies that contract with the health department to provide services that help people with developmental disabilities get through daily social hoops were told their contracts would end April 1st. The state health department said that's necessary to save money after Governor Steve Bullock and the state legislature reduced the agency's budget by $49 million amid a statewide revenue shortfall. In January, after public outcry from the providers and their clients, a legislative interim committee pressured the health department to find an alternative solution. The committee asked the department to look at ways to maintain the contracts, but at lower payment rates to the providers. Last week, the health department went back and forth with providers on ways that could work, according to several of the providers who took part in the negotiations. But several providers say what the department presented as its final offer last Friday isn't enough to strike a deal. Joshua Kendrick is with one of the companies, Opportunity Resources, in Missoula.
We're very sad to say that there's no way we would financially be able to continue providing case management with the offer that is on the table currently.
Pat Noonan is with the Anaconda-based Aware.
If there's no ability to have a counteroffer and this is just the final offer, which is the impression that we are under, then we will no longer be able to provide targeted case management for folks with developmental disabilities.
When it presented its original plan to end contracts with private providers, the state health department said it would take on the cases of about 3,000 individuals with disabilities who used these Medicaid-funded services this spring. The health department says this will increase state worker caseloads to about 50 to 60 cases per worker. Private providers say that's double what's a reasonable amount. The health department says the quality of care won't suffer as a result of this change. In response to Montana Public Radio's request for details, a DPHHS spokesperson emailed a statement, quote, "We continue to have discussions with providers, but at this time, there is no new information to announce," unquote. I'm Corin Cates-Carney, Montana Public Radio.
A Montana man who died while ice climbing in the Helena, Lewis, and Clark National Forest has been identified as 74-year-old Elton J. Adams of Great Falls. Lewis and Clark County Sheriff Leo Dutton says the man was reported to have slipped and fallen 90 feet while climbing Cataract Falls on Sunday. The Great Falls Tribune reports that authorities received a call at 1:12 p.m. Dutton says the victim, an avid climber, was climbing with four other people. He says a person who reported the accident had to drive out several miles to obtain cell coverage and then waited to guide first responders into the area. Dutton says the death was accidental. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai Tribes released a seasonal closure reminder today for the Ferry Basin Wildlife Management Unit in the southwest corner of the reservation. The area is closed each year to non-tribal members to minimize impacts to big game in critical winter and calving ranges from January 1st through May 15th. Fishing access to the lower Flathead River remains open. The area is also closed to antler collection by tribal and non-tribal members now through April 30th. More information about the seasonal closure is on our website, mtpr.org. More than $600,000 has been distributed primarily to volunteer fire departments in Montana, thanks to a fundraising campaign sparked by last year's wildfire season. The Independent Record reports that grants ranging from $600 to $15,000 from the Montana Wildfire Relief Fund were recently announced to 81 departments and organizations. The Montana Community Foundation and the Montana Television Network started the fundraising efforts. Montana wilderness advocates are launching a campaign in opposition to a bill introduced by the state's Republican Senator Steve Daines. If passed, that bill would eliminate protections for some federal lands in Montana. Yellowstone Public Radio's Nate Hedgie reports.
A new coalition called Our Land, Our Legacy says it plans to fight against Daines' bill with social media messages and an advertising campaign. It hopes to keep more than 500,000 acres in Montana designated as wilderness study areas, also known as WSAs. That means the land is currently protected. It's closed to mining, logging, and certain bicycle and motorized vehicle use. John Todd, director of the Montana Wilderness Association, is a coalition member.
This would represent the biggest rollback of protected public lands in Montana history.
Senator Daines says it's time to remove the protection status for the land because the federal government has taken more than 30 years to determine what to do with the wilderness areas. Daines says the future of the land has been in limbo for too long, and it's time for Congress to act. But members of Our Land, Our Legacy say that's the wrong approach. Coalition member Dave Byerly is a Lewistown City Commissioner.
I like Steve Daines, and I voted for him. But this WSA bill, it was a complete surprise and a real disappointment.
Lewistown sits at the foot of the Big Snowy Mountains, one of the wilderness study areas targeted by Daines' bill. The measure could also impact other WSAs, including Blue Joint and Sapphire, south and east of Hamilton, the Middle Fork Judith, south of Stanford, and the West Pioneer, east of Wisdom.
I'm pretty plugged into the community, and there has been no public issue with the Snowies being managed as a wilderness. No public concerns have been expressed.
Byerly says Daines hasn't held any public meetings in the state to explain the legislation and to accept comment from his constituents. The bill has received support from some county commissioners, hunting groups, and trail bike enthusiasts. Daines is scheduled to promote his bill during its first hearing in the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee on Wednesday. I'm Nate Hedgie, Yellowstone Public Radio.
A proposed exploratory drilling project along an Idaho lake is stirring up concerns from some residents. The Coeur d'Alene Press reports Ponderay Silica Inc. has proposed one site for exploration from which two exploratory holes would be drilled to a maximum depth of 200 feet. The project area is within the Sand Creek Lake Ponderay watershed in the Sandpoint Ranger District. Visitors to Yellowstone National Park can now purchase entrance passes online instead of in person. Yellowstone Public Radio's Nate Hedgie has the latest.
Normally, when you visit the nation's oldest national park, you gotta pony up some cash or a credit card to the ranger if you want to get in. But as of last week, tourists can now use their smartphones or home computers to purchase annual and 7-day passes into Yellowstone online. Park spokesperson Vicki Regula.
It modernizes the sale of entrance passes and provides a digital alternative to purchasing that in person, and then that reduces the amount of transaction time.
Regula says the new digital passes are similar to an electronic boarding pass on an airplane.
It has specific information to the person, their name, address.
And just like a boarding pass, folks still need to show it and an ID to the ranger at the gate. The digital passes cost the same as buying one in person, and they can be purchased in advance of a trip. Meanwhile, the U.S. Interior Department is still reviewing public comments about a proposal to double the entrance fee to Yellowstone and some other parks. Officials expect to announce that decision later this year. Visitors can find Yellowstone's new digital passes at www.yourpassnow.com. I'm Nate Hedgie, Yellowstone Public Radio.
I'm Nora Sachs, Montana Public Radio.